I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With a new episode every Macabre Monday, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers. The Rance Macabre, cutting,
cultured,
and curated.
Welcome back, listeners, to another installment of our Lunch Hour Reviews.
Yeah.
And we're welcoming Mindy back from Las Vegas.
Yes.
Healthy. Who flies that comes back healthy?
I know. Relatively healthy. Like, I don't even know what I used to sound like is the thing.
I pulled a little bit of audio magic. I don't know if you listened to the last Lunch Hour Review, but if you EQ out around the 400 hertz level, that's like the nasally sort of spectrum. And you don't sound all that sick.
Oh, nice.
I kinda,
good.
Yeah, it's like audio cover up.
Hooray! No, good to know.
I think this episode's going to require none of that. So we've got a couple movies, and I feel like we're going to keep chiming in on the leftovers until one of
so
us finishes
good.
It.
I'm done with it. You need to catch up. I had caught up. And I was watching it like as it was on TV, which was, it's horrible. How
right.
did people used to watch TV like this?
Patiently. Yeah. No, I was thinking about that in terms of, I think I'm at like episode 10 of the mm-hmm. first season. So I'm finally hooked. I'm in.
I really,
the episode Cairo, I think mm-hmm. was number 8. And that was the one where like, oh shit, it's like that now. All right, I'm in. This is creepy and fucked up and really dramatic, and like all the writing was always great, but
yeah.
like that was the one where the story arc kind of opened up and got particularly horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make you feel good. You're not going to feel too good.
No.
You know what though? I felt better watching that than The Night Of. The Night Of was one of those shows where I just finished it and say, God, I feel terrible.
Yeah, I haven't done that one. I think it'll be a while
when
before
you're ready
I pick
to
up
feel
a new
terrible.
Series. Okay, so I guess I'll start us out. I caught this one a little while ago when it first came to Netflix, Beyond the Gates from 2016. It is chock full of indie actors who
okay.
you'd recognize from a bunch of stuff. The guy from The Signal is a small part.
Yeah, I love seeing him.
It's directed by Jackson Stewart, written by Stewart and Steven Scarlatta, starring Graham Skipper, Chase Williams from John Dies at the End,
mm-hmm.
Brie Grant, and the great Barbara Crampton. She plays the host of a VCR tabletop game. Do you remember these from the 90s?
I remember other people who had them. We did not have anything like this.
Yeah, I only remember the TV commercials for them, which made it look pretty dope, because like
yeah.
at the time, it was a pretty bendy line between like advertising and what the actual thing they were advertising was.
Yes.
So like it looked way more enveloping and
you could play
grandiose.
Really fast and loose with
yeah.
advertising in the 80s. It was
yeah.
like you put this VHS in and suddenly there's lasers and you're in Tron.
Right.
Welcome, curious viewers.
We found this like weird, probably banned VCR game. It's like a board game, you know, but you gotta watch it.
Obtaining the four keys allows passage beyond the gates. Only there can your father's soul be saved.
Did you just hear that?
Where did you say you found this again?
Yeah, so going off that, this movie plays off of one of those ideas. So it's a little Jumanji-esque,
uh-huh.
but like, you know, it's an indie flick, so it's far smaller scale. Here's a quick synopsis. Two estranged brothers reunite at their missing father's video store to liquidate the property and sell off his assets. As they dig through the store, they find a VCR board game dubbed Beyond the Gates that holds a connection to their father's disappearance and deadly consequences to anyone who plays it. So yeah, it's immersive. It, you know what? It's as immersive as the commercials for these games were back in the 90s. So like it appeals to me. That said, it's not great. It's entertaining, this
Fine.
Movie.
What if it was The Ring? Like that's the game. You put the tape in and now it's The Ring.
It finishes up and everyone's looking at each other like, "Oh man,
what's
like,
the game?
We're
going
to die in 7 days." go get the phone. but yeah, so this movie is most fun for those that will that this nostalgia appeals to.
Mm-hmm.
The VHS crowd. It's funny, tonight I'm going to a New York horror movie meetup group, and there's a guy there who like trades in VHS tapes, like the rare, and like he, you know, gets doubles and sells them on eBay and like goes through all the motions looking for rare stuff and collecting and selling. It's a world I'm not all that familiar with.
I am not either. My mom is like getting rid of some stuff, and she has these. It was like something even before Laserdisc was sure. Some other kind of disc thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, I have this Exorcist. Do you want me to keep it? Or I was like, I don't even know how to play that item, Mom.
Right.
I don't know what you've got to do with it. She's like, I have Star Wars too.
Oh wow.
And on I was like, someone will probably want it, but like what do you do with this outdated technology?
Oh, you know what? That actually relates to our rant sequitur. We talked about Star Wars and how they're very limited numbers of the original trilogy without the George Lucas over the top. So all you got to do is find yourself a $400 Laserdisc player and you're back in business to
right?
watch the originals. So while I recognize this movie isn't very good, I did like it a lot. It was entertaining. It's a black comedy at times. There are a couple moments of great gore, and mm-hmm. those involve what's the guy? Justin Welborn, the main guy from The Signal, who really embraces a scumbag character.
And he's great. I don't know why he's not in everything.
Yeah, I couldn't say. It seems like he sort of goes in these same like indie circles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in this case, he's playing a smaller character. He's kind of, you know, he's a set piece that sort of moves the story along, but he's effective, and that moment of gore is pretty great, actually. For a small indie, his death is pretty good. Spoiler alert, he's
yeah,
not in
it
long.
Yeah,
it
was like,
long.
Whoa.
Yeah, there? He's not terribly important to the plot. But yeah, so, I don't know, a lot of the story kind of I think it's like 87 minutes long.
Okay.
None of the characters are really explored very deeply. So you don't really get anything to like latch on to or really attach you to the story and really care, you know, next level of care beyond like, oh, that was clever.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end in all that spectacular a mode. Like it finds an end and it's satisfying enough, but like it's about as entertaining as the rest of the movie was. So yeah, I don't know. I couldn't give this a strong recommend. I would say like, you know, watch 30 minutes. If that appeals to you, then keep watching the next.
I feel like you tried to tell me to watch it, though. I just didn't listen to you.
Did I recommend this one?
I think you did.
Time?
Yeah. It's because you're obsessed with
that.
Barbara Crampton.
It could be.
You're like, Barbara Crampton's in it. It's good. Watch it.
Yeah, she's in it throughout, but they are these like shorter moments because she is the on-screen VHS host.
Oh, okay.
So, like I said, she's throughout the movie in bits and pieces, and yeah, she's good. She's kind of like creepy, and I mean, it could just me, but like creepy sexy. It works. It works.
The best kind of creepy, or maybe it's the best kind of sexy. I don't know. So I watched Man Versus from 2015, written by Adam Massey, directed by Adam Massey. Additional writer was brought in for some reason I'll never understand, named Thomas Michael, whatever.
Man
Let me
versus,
tell you.
Is it, it's just Man Versus. It's not Man Versus Wild,
well,
which
it
is
can't
the sort
be
of
man
association.
Versus wild,
right. It's,
that would
no,
be.
It's Man Versus Critics.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what? You can't refer to it as Man Versus Wild. It's just Man Versus.
I'm trying to get them sued.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Here's I think why I'm so angry about the whole thing is that I was on the journey with it. And I was like, okay, all right. It's nothing groundbreaking, but I was along this journey and I kind of liked the premise. And then one moment happened and then I wasn't. And then I hated it. And I feel like lied to and led on.
Now, that's funny because I was curious. So just before we started rolling, I watched the trailer and there is a glimpse of the antagonist.
I know.
And I just kind of blurted out what he looked like in that moment to me. And it turns out I was right.
Yeah.
So I don't need to see the movie.
No, you don't. If I would have watched the preview, I think I would have been so less angry.
Not feeling deceived, have helped?
No, I think I still would have like hated it. Because it literally, you see the antagonist and you just keep looking at him.
Oh, they really
just keeps being
put him
there
on camera
on
a
the
bunch.
Screen oh. a bunch, and it's so bad. And up until that point, you never see him. You see maybe glimpse of this or that.
Yeah.
But it's not like ba-doom like that.
Yeah.
It's like in Signs when you finally see the alien in Signs, you're just like,
yeah, and then you can't stop seeing.
Exactly, and you're like, put that off the screen.
I'm going to go to the next room because this is ruined. The more I look at the man in the rubber suit, this is going to shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the feeling I had. So it gave me like anger over the whole thing because honestly, it's a great premise. It is like a man versus wild show. And so this guy has his producers and cameramen that they have their own camp. He leaves them for 5 days. They drop him off and he has to survive in the wild for 5 days.
Okay, so he's like carrying around a bunch of GoPros.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's not exclusively found footage, which is, I'm fine with that. So there's outside viewing and then his cameras. It's kind of cool because I like that show, Man vs. Wild. I love that idea.
I can never remember which one turned out to be the like fake.
I don't remember which one either.
It was Bear Grylls or Man vs. Wild. Or Bear Grylls might be Man vs. I don't know.
I just like the premise.
There's a lot of white guys in the woods on TV.
Love to go out there.
There's our boy. Like he's ready to make some TV magic.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm not even going to say goodbye.
I didn't want to wake you guys up.
Be safe, okay?
Same as always, 5 days alone. Then we pick you up.
Well, here I am in the wilderness of the great Canadian North, and I'm completely on my own. I won't be seeing anyone for another 5 days until they come pick me up.
And it's awesome, and there's some great, like, spooky elements, and then you see it, and it's horrible.
Yeah, and it's not, I don't know, I mean, it kind of, the trailer doesn't suggest that it goes into the territory of, like, Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Which is celebrating an anniversary really soon. A horror movie group is watching that too. But Predator, like, it's fun when Arnold starts like setting up traps.
Yeah.
And is just like, you know, very Boy Scout, like using his wits to sort of defend himself and go on the offensive with this alien. In the trailer, it looks like this guy's just kind of eventually like hunted.
But, yeah, he's
but
just
isn't
being
really
hunted
applying all his wildlife training.
Oh, no, there's no. What is actually happening, though, is the antagonist is kind of watching what he's doing and doing the same thing back. So, like, he sets up a fall trap for rabbits.
Okay.
And there's a great scene where he goes underneath this, like, rock outpost, and then you find out it's one of those fall traps.
Oh.
And it's very cool. You're like, oh, as soon as you figure it out the same time he figures it out. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, okay.
And it's great. And the pacing at the beginning is actually really good. It's really spooky. God damn. It just pissed me off.
That's a bummer. A bummer that it sort of breaks your heart an hour into the movie.
Yeah. That's why I think I'm so angry about the whole thing. And like the main guy is Chris Diamantopoulos. And he's a voiceover guy who, if you watch any of the modern Justice League cartoons, he's Green Arrow.
Okay.
So that's where, and he's a huge voice actor in tons and tons of stuff. So you've definitely heard him before. He has a familiar face.
I did recognize him as the philanthropist from Silicon Valley, who's like very much the bro kind of douchebag, you know. Very different roles, it seems. Like going from that where he's just kind of a disgusting human being, you know, but I guess the slightest bit tech savvy, to this, like, immersed in the wilderness kind of.
And he's good in it.
Yeah?
It's actually really good. It's no one's fault except for the writer, director, and the antagonist. It is no one else's.
Maybe the editor is at fault.
Yes, maybe. Because it's no one else's fault. Everyone else is so capable in the film. And then And then that happened.
Yeah. The way you were describing it, it reminded me of the follow-up movie. The guy who made The Battery, Jeremy Gardner, he followed up The Battery with a movie that's really just him, Tex Montana Will Survive. And it's a black comedy, kind of tongue-in-cheek take on those survivalist shows, but it turns out the guy doesn't know shit.
Uh-huh.
And so he is struggling for, I don't know, I think the movie plays up like he's in the wilderness for like a month or something ridiculous, but little by little he's just like falling apart and having these like bizarre monologue confessionals to everyone he's wronged in his life because he's pretty sure he's gonna die from exposure. But yeah, I mean, that one's at least fun. And I think they put that one up on YouTube just to be consumed
by
everyone else.
So maybe we'll suggest to watch that one instead of Man vs.
Yeah, well, I've seen Tex Montana. I don't know if I'm at a point of recommending it.
What if you watched it again? Because remember, I didn't like The Battery the first time and I turned it off. And then I really liked it. So maybe you just need to watch Tex Montana again.
I don't know if I got time to rewatch everything I don't like.
Could you imagine, like, what kind of person does that? I didn't like it, so I watched it again.
The most open-minded person, that's who. But yeah, so I don't know. That was a like comedic take on this, and he's, you know, in Tex Montana, he's not being hunted by an alien in a vest.
Right. Wait, that's giving it away. Don't do that.
No, should I not? So the week you're away, I was trying to figure out what the episode was going to be, mm-hmm. but I've been working on something for Patreon, and it's finally the Get Out episode. So I've been doing a bunch of research and pulling interview clips from Jordan Peele and sort of getting into it. One of the movies that he talks about pretty regularly as being an influence is The Stepford Wives.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm familiar with The Stepford Wives just as like a cultural reference, I've never seen it.
Okay.
I knew that in 2004 they put out the really bad Frank Oz remake.
Yes, I did watched not... that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and watched the 1975 Stepford Wives in doing research for Get Out. And I was pleasantly surprised. That said, like, it's difficult to watch that movie knowing just, like, you know, what's in the cultural ether, knowing that it's kind of about, you know, a suburban Betty Crocker sort of army of automaton women. And so my frustration was that it doesn't really go into very much subtext. The movie plays up the components that are like a reaction to the women's lib movement and sort of second wave feminism, but it doesn't really, there's not much more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that, you know, the original film directed by Brian Forbes with the screenplay by William Goldman. So like there's Hollywood royalty based on the book by Ira Levin, who also wrote Rosemary's Baby. This had like all the features of a success. It wasn't that big of a success at the time. Mm-hmm. Like it sort of became a cult favorite, but it never, I think part of the reason it's not like next level great, and I might take some heat for this, but like it was a bunch of dudes putting together this story.
Right.
It was a bunch of guys who like even had disagreements on the casting of it because the director hired his wife, and I think it kind of hits a wall in terms of understanding and greater statements because it doesn't ever really dig deep. It's
right,
never
right.
actually coming from a woman's perspective. Even though we are following Catherine Ross as the lead, it doesn't really go far beyond that. Like she's a mother. Mm-hmm. You can't really see her and her husband together as a couple because she's very bohemian.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like a corporate dude. And so like they've been together successfully long enough to like have two kids and move to the suburbs. Like that's a weird approach, but all right, we'll suspend disbelief.
You know, I have huge problems with Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing with this story. It's so like, it is a bunch of dudes being like, ladies talk like this or ladies do
these
things.
This,
and
yeah,
it's,
this sort
it
of
just
like,
makes me feel really uncomfortable for the most part because it's so, it is two dimensional because, and I might take some heat for this, because maybe that's how they view people.
Yeah, I kind of assume that the novel goes into more depth. And my understanding, I in one of the documentaries that they talk about the movie, William Goldman interviewed a number of high-profile feminists to get their sense on it. But like that mostly doesn't come into the story. There are a couple lines here and there that are references, but it doesn't move beyond. That said, like as it relates to our earlier conversation, I owe it another look.
Mm-hmm. Sure, watch it again.
And I think down the line, like it'll be cool to do an episode specifically about like feminism in horror films, because I think this is one where like, you know, you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that they had the best intentions. Mm-hmm. It just didn't really make it on account of like, you know, this lack of authenticity.
Right. Well, you know, if Karen Black had probably been cast, this would have been a very different film.
You're a Karen Black broken record. Catherine Ross is great, though. She's great in the part. And I like the dynamic. They actually did talk about how her and her like new best friend in the town of Stepford were based on Mary Tyler Moore and Rhoda.
Oh, that's...
So like they're a fun
yeah.
duo.
Yeah.
And they are funny in the movie. A lot of it holds up in that way. It's just like the, you know, the sort of, yeah, the subtext isn't there. But yeah, I am very excited to finish up the episode on Get Out that I've been working for our Patreon subscribers, and mm-hmm. you listener can be part of the Patreon listenership for only a buck a month, and that gets you into our exclusive catalog of episodes, music, sketches, and all sorts of fun stuff. Actually, this will come out the week after I put up our very first Patreon exclusive on the Night of Living Dead episode that we worked on. That was like a
that was
mega,
nice to share with everybody episode. Because that was a lot of work that went into that episode.
It was funny working up to that in terms of like, you know, we put a lot of work into this podcast, and so when we took on Patreon as a new project, it was kind of like, we'll give it a shot, we'll see if this works, but that's a hell of a lot of work in addition to the regular weekly shows.
Right.
But labor of love, especially when it comes to Night of the Living Dead, that like we nerded out hard. There's a lot of research into it. There's a lot of like behind the scenes details and all sorts of cultural stuff that it plays with. So by this point, listeners have already heard that one. Hope you liked it.
So as I was watching garbage films on Netflix, I finished The Leftovers, which was not garbage, and it was amazing. And I needed a new show. My husband and I needed a new show. And so...
In addition to Cheers.
Well, Cheers only happens in the morning.
Does it? Okay.
Well, I mean, you're looking at my TV right now because I was just watching Cheers while... before you came
those
over.
Were long seasons back then, though.
They were like 20 some episodes a season.
Yeah. Anyway,
we're not here to talk about Cheers. I started watching Riverdale because I love a good CW show.
Yeah, it is,
but at the heart of it, it's a murder mystery. Then the Archie gang gets involved, and so we have Archie, Betty, Veronica. Even Kevin has shown up, so it's like mixing all these things.
Okay, so I don't know shit about Archie.
I used to read them.
Is that going to matter at all?
No. It's only fun when you see certain people, like, doing certain things. It's just like Easter egg-y kind of stuff.
Okay.
But you don't need to know anything about Archie.
Okay. Is Jughead called Jughead?
He is called Jughead, but he
doesn't
wear
a headdress?
Crown.
No?
He wears a beanie that has, like, it's kind of like a crown.
Oh, cute.
Yeah,
like
it's
Charlie
very
Brown,
cool.
Like
and
the
he's
pattern.
The little kid from that Adam Sandler movie, Big Daddy.
Oh, all right.
But he's now an adult person who's very handsome, and it makes me look and feel old. And I don't like that. I don't particularly like that feeling.
Okay, but he's only a teenager in the show. It's not like he's, you know, doing your taxes. Like
no, but I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? But he's Jughead, and Jughead is not, number one, though, he hasn't eaten any hamburgers. No hamburgers have been eaten on the show at all by anybody.
Is that a thing? Jughead is always eating?
Oh, yes, it's a thing. It's okay. The thing.
His defining character.
And then he has a dog named, like, Hot Dog. But he doesn't have a dog on the show.
Yet. Yeah.
Maybe. Skeet Ulrich is his dad. So that's exciting.
Whoa, that's where we are now, where
Luke
Skeet
Perry
Ulrich is
playing Archie's dad.
Dude's dad. Luke Perry's in the show?
Yeah, Luke Perry is Archie's dad. Madhyan Ahmek from Twin Peaks is Betty's mom.
Oh.
There's some good people wandering through the halls here.
I'm curious about it because they do establish a tone, and certainly with the advertising, they were very specifically sort of alluding to It Follows with the poster where it's like the VW bug and a boy and girl in the back seat.
It's dark.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's way darker than Archie that you kind of think, you know, that aw shucks kind of thing. It's
Riverdale,
dark.
I don't know. Archie always, it struck me as a very peculiar comic book because it would, I guess it was just like comedic slice of life stories, but I never related to anyone.
Oh, I liked Veronica. Veronica was my jam.
Okay.
But like growing up, that was my thing.
Are her and Betty...
Oh, they're
both
friends.
Love
in
interests?
This. No, they're friends in this show. But
okay,
it's so there's some liberties with that. They're not like fighting over Archie. I mean, in the beginning they are. I'm not gonna lie. But then it gets beyond that because there's a murder that happened.
Priorities.
Yes, and so it's this kind of like detective show, and it's really fun.
Is Archie kind of playing like Veronica Mars? Like he's trying to solve this?
No, Archie just wanders in and out of the show. Jughead and Betty are kind of the main people who are actually doing the research.
Ah,
because they work
for
the school's newspaper, which is kind of Veronica Marsy.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's I like it. Sounds like the Scooby Gang.
Yeah,
like come to life.
It's just Archie has other problems, so he doesn't really have time to do this.
What's he like, kicking heroin?
No, he's having an affair with a teacher. And
scandalous.
It's very scandalous.
In small town Riverdale.
Also, he has to choose between football and music. He's now dating a member of Josie and the Pussycats. Also there in the show.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. It's too bad it's not like the original cast. Well, original cast, but the feature film Josie and the Pussycats that came out in, I guess, late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That girl from She's All That was in it.
Yeah. Something Cook. Rachel Lee Cook?
Yeah.
Is that, wow. That pulled that name.
How did you know that?
Because she just appeared in a PSA about like drugs, but in the other way. You remember because
she used to do the frying pan thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so now she's doing one about how
drugs are good for you.
The war. How the war on drugs is you know, really skewed in terms of who it impacts and who's incarcerated for it, et cetera, et cetera.
Really?
So it's like, yeah, it's like a long form thought piece that, she's there in the tank top and the frying pan, but then sort of goes into stats.
Oh. Right now.
The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out. Now.
Okay. I've been watching, like a whole bunch of CW stuff.
And why aren't you watching Buffy? Why don't you ever watch Buffy?
I don't, because it's like, it's taking up such a huge project, and I don't know. It's too much. It's too much at this point. That ship has sailed. I've moved past. I'm not going back to Buffy. We'll brainstorm a show idea as far as how to incorporate Buffy into the Rance Macabre.
I'm going to hold you to this.
Yeah, no, that I'm fine with, but I am not going to watch like 7 years worth of Buffy anytime soon.
Well, it is your loss. In the meantime, everyone can find us on all the social media. We are at The Rance Macabre. You can Gmail us at therancemacabre@gmail.com. Check out our website with extra stuff and things, therancemacabre.com.
Yeah, it serves as a hub where you can stream the episodes and check out all the videos and merch even. We've got stickers, buttons, and refrigerator magnets.
As we mentioned before, you can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/rancemacabre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This month they're getting a big episode on Get Out, where I do a little bit of soapbox rambling, but it's written out, so it's controlled. So that'll do it for me. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're healthy. You're feeling better. Yeah.
No longer sounding like Tom Waits. Which is disappointing, kind of, because sometimes you think like maybe it'll stick,
for
and
me,
I'm going to be like,
I
could have
been
sexy.
Doing a podcast with Tom Waits. That'll do it for me. This is Darren signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.